So I figured last night we started talking about the number of 13, 13 months, 13th day of the 13th month, having to do with Purim and Megillah. So maybe we'll do the next few days, each night, maybe we'll do some other aspect of Machshava Chassidus related to Purim. And we'll connect it to the different tzaddikim, as in the Avos. So each night we'll do a different... tonight will be Avram, tomorrow night we'll do Yitzhak, like the Ushpizin, like the Sukkot, we'll do that with Purim. Those know I have a Sefer, I did that on Hanukkah, so we'll do that. I'm writing one on Purim as well. So I guess you'll walk through with me this one on Purim I'm working on right now. And it's not going to be ready for this Purim, maybe next one, Mirtz Hashem. So let's start with Avram. There are a few ways Avram connects to Purim. Now, there's a Medrash in Esther Rabba that tells us that Mordechai had an equal standing to Avram Avinu. They're equal, shakol to Avram Avinu, bidoro. Ma Avram Avinu maser es atzmo letoch kivshon ha'ish. He was moser nefesh to be thrown in the fire. V'hichzer v'hikil lebrios kedulas l'shok HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was an incredible display of the Ribono Shel Olam of running the world. And so to Av Mordechai, he's moser nefesh, and he brought a certain hakara to the world, to his door, of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see that there's a correlation between Avram and Mordechai. So let's develop that a little bit further. So Anais Daiti, I think you can make the following connection. We know that Avram Avinu, says at the beginning of Parshat Lecha, was the Makor HaBracha, he was the source of Bracha. It says that he was the source of Bracha, and all the brachas will come from Avram Avinu. There's a lot to say about that. And we have the same concept by Mordechai Tzadik. As it says, we're going to learn this next week, Chai Vinish Labasumei Adilayada Bein Baruch Mordechai L'Arham. That Mordechai is the source of bracha, as Avram's the source of bracha as well. So we'll work through this bracha, then we're going to work on the element of Arur as well. There's an Arur Haman. And there's also the Arur of the Klal of Bilam. Bilam and Avram go together, and Mordechai and Haman go together. So let's understand this. The Ragashava writes that this concept of Baruch Mordechai, Arur Haman, connects very much to Avram being Baruch and Eliezer, Eved Avram, being Arur. He was an Eved Kanani. We know that Canaan was cursed, so Eliezer had that element of being Arur. So this is the language of the Ragachover. Ubeze yuvan chayv adam lebesume bepurya. Person has to get drunk. Kavana ki simcha shel shtiya bepurim. The happiness of drinking a purim is the kavana should be ayidei simchas achomer, which means through celebrating the chomer, through the gashmis, yuchal hatzura the dabik bal yisbarach. You're able to elevate yourself to a level of ruchnis. This is the Indian of drinking on purim. Until you don't know Adiliyada bin Arur Haman, bin Baruch Mordechai. And then he writes, and he's very cryptic, this is the inyan of Eliezer Eved Avram, Sheyata Miklal Arur L'Kal Baruch, that he left that place of Arur, and he entered into the world of Baruch. So that element of somehow taking the Gashmias, which is Arur, and elevating it through drinking to Baruch, that was the inyan of Eliezer Eved Avram. That's what the Baruch Hashem writes. What does that even mean? So the Medrash explains that Eliezer left this place of Arur, of Klala, through his connection to Avram Avinu. Through serving the tzaddik of Avram, writes the Medrash, so he was able to yatsa michal Arur l'klal Baruch. So, that's very nice. But in the end of the day, Eliezer Eved Avram was not Baruch. Where do we see that he was blessed? You can scream it out.
412.
So Eliezer, so where do we see Eliezer, in fact, was Baruch? Where was the Baruch? Where did it come? So yes, the Medrash says he connected to Avram Avinu, and through that he became Baruch. But where do we see the Bracha being Miskayim? So Reb Tzadok writes the following. Reb Tzadok writes, I forgot the Marmakam here. Get back to you, I didn't write the Marmakam here, I don't think. Reb Tzadok writes, where was this? See to say Lila, I believe it is. That's what he talks about Megillah and Purim. I forgot which os. He writes as follows. Eliezer Eved Avram thought his whole life that Yitzchak Avinu was going to marry his daughter. That's what he thought. His daughter, and he's going to connect to the Tzaddik Yitzchak and to the Tzaddik Avram. He felt that way the whole time. He was Dola Mashke, domestic Eliezer, he was Dola Mashke, he was drawing water, he kept on learning and getting all the Torah from Avram Avinu. He thought that was going to take him to the next level. And even when he went on the Shlichas to find a wife for Yitzchak, he was hoping that the Shlichas wouldn't be fulfilled, so Yitzchak would be stuck with marrying none other than his own daughter. But this is a key line. The key line of Reb Tzaddik. Reb Tzaddik writes, at what moment did Eliezer realize that we experienced that baruch? He writes, "Lo yotze lechlal baruch ad shenisbarelo sheziva Yitzchak mimishpachto v'ein lo shayches l'misra." Eliezer realized his bracha came when he realized that his mishpacha was not connecting to the mishpacha of the tzaddik. As sad as it was for him that he wasn't going to connect, that was actually the moment of bracha. That's where the moment hit. He recognized that his tafkid in this world, a person's always trying to accomplish something else, someone else's tafkid, but once you realize that you're on a mission, a unique mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you on, and Eliezer had that aha moment, so that's when he was yatzel l'chal bracha. His bracha wasn't having his daughter marry Yitzchak. His bracha was recognizing that this is all part of a master plan. And he was able to connect the Kaddish Baruch Hu through Avram Avinu, and that hakara brought him to a place of a baruch. That's what he writes here. And the Be'er Mayim Chaim writes in Parshas Chayisara a similar idea. He uses different terms. A person's living in a place of confusion, a place of darkness. You know, we know that Chanukah is Or Mitoch Choshech, and Purim's also Lahudim Haisa Ora Mitoch Choshech. It's a time of darkness. So when a person lives in a place of darkness, it gets to that Hakara. That's where the Baruch is. When you're realizing that what you think is darkness, what you think is confusing, is really where Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you. So listen to the terms he used. The Be'er Mayim Chaim. Know that's known the Kavanah of the Arizal, the Isser Hotza B'Shabbos. It's an Isser to carry from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's an Isser, one of Melachas and Shabbos, as we know. And he writes to the place of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is Nikra HaSitra Achra. It's the place where the Yitzhara hangs out. It's a terrible place. It's a confusing place. It's Rosh Hashanah Yochid is the Yichud, the Sha'olam, recognize the Kaddish Baruch Hu is the oneness of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, the Olam of a Kaddush of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. A person's living in a place of confusion, a place of doubt, where he lacks the confidence in himself, the confidence in the Kaddish Baruch Hu, the confidence in his own abilities and skills, that means a person is living in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. When a person is living in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, that's when you realize that there's one God, there's one plan, and I've got my own unique mission in life. It's similar, Rav Wolfson writes, by Chanukah, there's an inning to light the nair outside, Beshuk, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. To show that even in place of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you could find that hakara, that or of the Ribono Shel Olam. Here he's writing by Purim. This in and not by Purim per se, but there's Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and then there's Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And he writes, "Ashel Kain Eliezer Kol Od Shaya Bechlal Ara." So long as he was in the state of cursed, Hayomid Bechutz, he was standing outside. He was standing in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Shlo Shara Olav Adayin Kedushas Or Hashem. He wasn't able to experience the Kedush of Hashem because he lived in that place. He was questioning himself. He wanted something that wasn't his. He was in his place of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Aval Kishenichnas Lecha Baruch, when he entered into that world of Baruch Mipi Hashem. And then it says in the Pasuk, Bo Baruch Hashem. It says, now you're blessed. Once you realize that your daughter's not marrying Yitzchak, that wasn't part of the plan. You have to get over it and move on. Once he hit that place of, he entered into Rosh Hashanah Yochid, he now was in Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Lama Tamar Bechut, it says in the Pasuk, why are you standing outside? Come inside, because you're no longer living in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That was that moment of Akara, where he realized that his daughter was not marrying Yitzchak, and that was a bracha for him. So that's one explanation as to how we see that Eliezer entered into a world of bracha, when he recognized that he's part of a unique mission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he shouldn't be going after that which is not his. There's another pshat. This is just this is more of a fun type of pshat of where we see Eliezer's bracha was Mekayim, where it turned into Klala and Tebracha, I'll just say, Al-Regal Achas, that the Sfarim teach us, and the Chida brings this in great, interesting Ramazim, that Eliezer, there's a Gilgal of Eliezer, went into Kalev ben Yefuna. Kalev was a Gilgal of Eliezer. It's what the Chida writes, that it says in the Pasuk that Avdi Kalev Hayisa Ruach HaCharisimo, that by Yeshua, you need an extra yud, you need a little chizik from Moshe. Kalev was working on a different level. Ruach acheres imo. He had a different ruach. What that meant, the ruach acheres, he had another neshama. He was a Gilgal of Eliezer. And then we see that the Kalev lived a life of bracha. So Eliezer fulfilled that bracha through the life of Kalev ben Yefuna. And the B'nai Saskha writes, there's a remez that says, Vayavo ad Chevron. He went to Chevron. Ad Chevron, the gematria of Zehu Eliezer. But Kalev went to Chevron, Zehu Eliezer, reference to this connection of Kalev and Eliezer. So through Eliezer, through Kalev rather, is perhaps another way how we see Eliezer was fulfilled the concept of getting a bracha. But the Pasha Pshat is that his Hakara, that he's in a world run by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he left from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, that was the moment of bracha. That was the moment he recognized this. And just like we have this connection of Avram and Mordechai, so we also have a connection between Haman and Bilam on the Klala side. There's the Shem Shmuel writes that there's a strong correlation between the two of them, between Haman and Bilam. There's a Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Kufhei, which speaks about how they are both involved in Machshefa, connecting Haman to Bilam. But there's a certain yesod, it's an important lesson about even from the bracha of Haman, of Bilam. You know, Bilam gave a bracha to Klal Yisrael. There's a very, very important yesod, a message, a Musar Haska for us to take, chizuk. You know, the Be'er Maim Chaim writes in Parshas Balak, he says there's an interesting word that's mentioned. When Bilam tells the sorry Balak that I'm going to come back, Hashivosi Hashem Davar Kashir Davar, I'm going to report back to you the words that Hashem tells me, I'll tell you. He says the word Davar is actually, Shiv just said, Vashivosi Hashem Kashir Davar Hashem, I'll respond to you what Hashem tells me. What does it mean, Vashivosi Hashem Davar Kashir Davar? That was the question he asked. So he quotes the Gemara Megillah. We're learning Megillah now, right? Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Aleph Beis. Gemara tells us that Yoshia Melech was in search for a nevuah. Wanted to have a certain nevuah. And the Gemara says that he asked Chulda. It's one of the good trivia questions. There's seven nevuahs. Remember all the seven nevuahs? It's a fun trivia question. One of them is Chulda. So he asks Chulda for a nevuah. So he asks the Gemara, how come you went to Chulda? Chulda, very fine nevuah. The Gemara, you know, she was one of the top seven nevuahs, but she wasn't as great as Yirmiyahu HaNavi, who lived at the same time. So how is it possible, Yoshia, Heichi Shavik Yirmiyahu, Meshadir Lagaba Chulda? How could that be? And the Gemara answers, Noshim Rachmani Yosein, women are full of compassion. He was looking for some empathy, some sympathy, some compassion from women. So he went to Chulda. So asks the Be'er Maim Chaim, it's not up to the Navi or Neviyah what to say. They're simply a conduit to report back whatever message HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending them. They have no choice of what the nevuah is. They can pick and choose, I'll give this nevuah, I'll give that nevuah. Whatever message HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to send to Yoshia will send, whether it's through the avenue of Yirmiyah, whether it's through Chulda, it will be the same exact message. So who cares that? Nashim Rachmanias. And this is the mashal he says. Imagine you have water passed through a pipe. The same exact H2O in the beginning and the end. But let's say one pipe is slightly coated with some sugar. That water in the end will have a subtle taste. You know, there's some cereals, different levels of cereals. Some are very sugary, some are a little bit sugary. So even those that have a very little taste, you can taste a little taste of sugar. So that water at the end will be H2O, but there'll be sudden, you know, a subtle taste of sugar. And if you have a pipeline that's coated in something bitter or something sour, water passes through, it's going to garner some of that sourness, some of the bitterness. So, says the Bar Maim Chaim, yes, the words would have been the same. The words that Chulda reported and the words and the message that Yirmiyahu would have been exactly the same, except, you know, when Mirtz Hashem, you guys get married and have many kids, you're going to train your children how to speak properly. Part of speaking properly isn't only what you say, but it's also how you say, the inflection, the body language. So your child could do something wrong, and two kids could say the same exact words, but mean very different things. One could say, I'm sorry, and really mean, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I insulted you. And the other one could say, I'm sorry, but roll his eyes and shrug his shoulders, I don't really care. But those are the same exact words, but depending how it's packaged, how it's said, with the feeling, with the emotion, with the hand motions, with the facial expressions, all that, the package is going to transmit in a certain way. Yirmiyah, I don't want to say anything belittling, but he was more the bitter type. He wrote Kinos, all the Nevuahs of Yirmiyah are about the destruction. That was the life he lived. That was the place his head was at. And Chulda, although we don't have much from her, women by nature are more compassionate. And he wanted something with a little bit more of a bend towards Rachmanis. So that's why. So too Bilam. Bilam was giving a bracha. But the davar, the extra word, Vashivos Yitzchem davar, was Bilam's way of slanting it. Even the bracha, a little bit of a curse, a little bit of a bend. Not so much. And the Gemara in Tainis actually says, the klala of a tzaddik is better than a bracha of a rasha. Because even this bracha had a little bit of a sting to it. So brachas and klalas, you have to be very, very careful how things work, how things are said. As I found in the Ksavim of Rav Yehuda of Kalai, he has a beautiful remez connecting Baruch Mordechai and the Avos. He writes as follows. He says, Ad Shalayada ben Arahaman Baruch Mordechai, Haman, Arahaman is the Gematria of Basar, 502. And Baruch Mordechai is also the Gematria of Basar, 502. He says, Arahaman, Baruch Mordechai are equal. You don't know the difference between the two. He writes further, he's Moses on this, he writes that the years of the Avos were also 502. Avram was 175, Yitzhak was 1. It says 140 here, but it should be 180. And Yaakov was 147. And that total is 502. And Haman was trying to be mevatel the Zechus Avos, the Arur Haman, to be mevatel the 502 years that the Avos lived on this earth. In a similar way to Balak and Bilam were also trying to undo the Zechus Avos. There are many parallels. The life of Bilam and Avram, the opposites of each other. Everything Avram did, Bilam tried doing the opposite. So Bilam tried uprooting Shlosh Pabim, we say Shlosh Regalim. He tried uprooting the Shlosh Regalim, which are connected to the Gimel Avos. He tried uprooting the Zechus Avos. So to Haman, Ar Haman, the years of the Avos, he tried uprooting them. In the end of the day, that did not work. At the end of the day, Avram Avinu and Baruch Mordechai, their brachas were able to overcome, surpass the klalas of Haman, the klalas of Bilam. But how does one do this? What's the idea? So I'll finish off with a beautiful Yid HaKadosh. It's what we start off with, the rugged shavar in the beginning. How do you take a klal and turn it into a bracha? What's the eitzah? So listen to this beautiful, I just gave a shiur before to the afternoon kolo. I spoke about halachas of traveling to the moon. Figured it'd excite them a little bit. Not that any of them would ever go to the moon at their age, nor would I, but it's a fun topic nonetheless. It's probably not too far off in the future. So there's an interesting shiloh that was brought to Reb Chaim about whether or not a mikvah on the moon is kosher. How you get a mikvah there is a whole shiloh. It doesn't rain on the moon. Mayim shuvim. Drawn water, rainwater elsewhere is not good. So you bring ice. That's how they make mikvahs in Phoenix. It doesn't rain in Phoenix. There are no springs in Phoenix. They bring ice. You don't put ice in a kli, so it doesn't become possible in Mayim Shuvim. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's fine. They bring ice, they transport it, they drop it in a mikveh, it melts, and that's a mikveh. You could do the same thing in theory, bring it to the moon, dig a pit, and drop some ice there, and it melts, and maybe it melts, I don't know if it gets warm enough to melt, but that's in theory a mikveh. Will that be kosher? And if Chaim Kanievsky paskens that, it won't be kosher, because one of the criteria of a mikveh has to be in the ground, ba'aretz. And he said that the moon cannot be considered, the dust, the dirt of the moon is not considered aretz, not considered ground. Why not? He says as follows. The Mishnah Kalim, Maseches Kalim, I think it's Perek Yudalid, says that every day, it talks about every day of creation, day one, everything created on day one cannot, there's nothing that was created can become tummy. Everything is tahor on day one. Day two, things that were created can become, there's certain items that were created on day two that can become tummy. You made it into a kli. Day three, nothing on day three can become tummy. Day four, something can become tummy. Day five, everything is tahor, except there's a certain fish, or bird rather, that's tummy midrabanan. Day six, can become tummy. Day seven, not. Nothing was created on day seven. That's what he says. Either way, it says, what day of the week was the moon created? Anyone know? Day four, says the Mishnah, everything created on day four is completely tahor. That means, if you were to make a kli of moon dust, that would not be makabel tumah. If you made a kli out of the ground, kli cheres, let's say, it would be makabel tumah. Says Rav Chaim, the moon is not called haaretz, it's not called adama for that reason. Fascinating. What's the purpose for us? It's starting to rain now. I'm going to move up a little bit here. So the Yid HaKadosh writes as follows. It's fascinating, the halacha of the calendar. The days that Purim fall out versus the days that Yom Kippur fall out. Yom Kippur falls out on a Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Shabbos. Purim is Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Every day that Yom Kippur falls out is one of the days that everything is Kadosh. No Tameh. Every day Purim falls out is a day where things that were created can become Tameh. Because Yom Kippur is a day that's Kula Kadosh, Kula Tahor. So it can only fall out on the day of creation, then everything's Tahor. Thursday, both Purim and Yom Kippur fall out. Midiraisa, everything on Thursday is Kasher, Tahor, Yom Kippur. But Midirabanan, there's a certain bird that's Tameh because Purim is Dirabanan, so there's a Tumah Midirabanan. Because Purim is where you take the Gashmis, like the Ragu Shavar said. You take the wine, you take the food, and you're able to elevate it. Yom Kippur, we separate from eating and drinking and everything else. Purim, we engage in it. We eat and we drink because we're taking the Gashmias and we elevate it to a whole other level. That's what it means to take that which is Arur and turn to Bracha. What that means is all of you have certain kochos, not only in Ruchnias. You have kochos in Gashmias. In Gashmias, whatever that koach is, it could be you have a certain ambition in life, you have a certain whatever that koach is. Find it and just channel it towards Ruchnias. The Baal Shem Tov writes, I'll finish with this. The Mishnah Avos says, Ezu Gibor HaKovesh is Yitzhak. Oh, a person who's strong, who can overcome his Yitzhara. Simple pshat is, guy has a certain taiva for honor, for money, for whatever it is, just get rid of it, just crush it, remove it. Says the Baal Shem Tov, no. The idea of a Kovesh is Yitzhara, Kovesh also means to take something and to pickle it, to preserve it, to utilize it. Take a cucumber, you put it in vinegar, you add salt, pepper, garlic, and let it pickle. You don't get rid of the cucumber, you utilize it and make it better. You enhance it, you flavor it, you add the taste to it. So to find the Yetzar, find your strong taiva, and just redirect it towards Limna Torah, towards Chesed, towards something that's going to make you great in Ruchnis. And that's a permis. Permis, take the Gashmis, take your strengths in this world and use it towards Ruchnis. Okay, everyone, have a wonderful night. Stay dry and safe.